A listener note, this episode contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
Gentlemen, allow me a few words. I wish to speak today, not for the sake of being looked at or talked about, but to vindicate myself in the steps I intend to take. I am a northern man, like you, but unlike most northerners, I have looked upon both sides of this question. I'm confident that you're not afraid to hear the truth, however bitter it may be. All I ask is that you hear me to the end.
That was eventful.
Yes, it was. Here.
No.
Well, it's not enough. If you want more, just say so.
This was pleasure. I wanted you. So I had you.
Maybe you should be paying me then.
What's your name, sir?
J.B. Wilkes.
Your real name?
I just told you.
No. That's your stage name. Or should I say it was your stage name? After tonight, it's a safe assumption you'll never act again.
You were at the theater?
Everyone in town was there. I have to say, when you got booed off that stage by those mean old patrons, I felt rather sorry for you.
And yet you still wanted me.
I want what I want. And I know who you really are, Mr. Booth. Who your family is.
Then why ask?
To see if you're honest.
An honest actor? No such thing.
You haven't asked me my name.
Lose the sheet. I want to see you.
Look all you like.
You say you know my family. Did you know my brother killed my father?
No.
Years back. They were on tour in California, my father and my brother.
Edwin?
Yes, Edwin. And my brother, my dutiful brother, went off to prospect gold instead of doing what he was supposed to be doing.
And what was that?
Open your legs.
Are we about to have another go, Mr. Booth?
Open them. I was supposed to be taking care of a drunk, helpless old man. Instead, he quit the tour, took to drinking, and went off in search of riches, leaving our father to die of drink at his own hands. And now, like the prodigal son, with not a coin in his pocket, he returns home with his tail tucked between his legs. And to save face, he builds my father a monolith over his grave. It's gaudy, ostentatious, and tacky, just like Edwin's acting. And my poor mother, rendered a fool by motherly love, greets his transparent gesture with open arms, while I, the dutiful son, am scorned by her, forbidden even to use my father's name on the stage.
Hence Mr. Wilkes.
Yeah, hence Mr. Wilkes.
You did get booed off the stage tonight. Perhaps a change of career is in order?
You're wrong. When all is said and done, I will be the most famous man in America.
Well, it has a hopeful ending, but that's still a sad story.
What's your name?
Ella Starr.
Ella Starr. You're magnificent.
Here's a piece of unsolicited advice. If you want something, fight for it. You don't want to be Mr. Wilkes forever, do you?
...1865.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
1865 is supported by you. Hi, I'm Lindsey Graham, executive producer of 1865. I'd like to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying 1865, consider supporting it with a $5 monthly pledge. If you'll join us at 1865podcast.com, you'll get the entire original series, bingeable right now, as it appeared on Stitcher Premium last year, completely ad-free. You'll also get early access to episodes of the new rewritten and reworked series. That's the one you're listening to right now, also ad-free. And in addition to that, supporters get transcripts annotated by the writers with more fascinating historical detail, a free copy of the original score to 1865, and special bonus segments that dive deep into our characters' history and motivations in their own words as read by the cast. But I hope the best perk of becoming a supporter of the show is that you will be helping us create the next chapter in our audio storytelling. There are so many stories to tell, from 1765 to 2065, and your support is critical to our success. So please, go to 1865podcast.com and become a patron. Help us continue our work bringing history alive by going to 1865podcast.com.
For one night only, this Saturday, February 14th, 1862, at Ford's Theater, the newest in Washington City. The greatest tragedian of the American stage, Edwin Booth, on stage with the most handsome actor of the American stage, John Wilkes Booth. For the first time ever, two Booths, one stage, in the favorite tragedy, Othello, The Moor of Venice, by William Shakespeare.
John, where were you?
I'm sorry, are you talking to me?
Don't play the fool.
I never play the fool, Edwin. I'd like to, but they say I'm too handsome for the clowns.
You missed a rehearsal. Where were you?
I had business.
This is your business.
Edwin,
where
please.
Were you?
I'm permitted to have a life outside of the theater, Edwin, even if you choose not to.
The last time you missed a rehearsal, back in Virginia, you snuck off to a lynching.
John Brown was not lynched. He was tried and convicted of treason, Edwin. He was lawfully executed.
I'm not interested in having a political debate with you.
Only because you know you'd lose.
Where were you?
I was with Sam.
Sam O'Loughlin?
Yes.
Why am I not surprised?
He's a good man.
He's a bigot. I thought he was off fighting for slavery.
He's on leave. He came to visit me.
If Father were alive to see you running around with secessionists and Confederate soldiers...
Good thing he's dead, then.
You're lucky I covered for you with Mr. Ford. That's all I can say. If you expect him to be lenient with you on account of Father, then you don't know him very well. Do not come between him and his money.
Not everything is about money.
In the theater, it is.
Back in Virginia, that man, John Brown, he sacrificed everything. He gave his life for what he believed in. I've never had anything like that, not even close.
You have your family's legacy. You wanted to use the Booth name. You wanted to get up on that stage and claim your birthright. And when Mother said no, when Mother said you weren't ready, I stood up for you. Do not make me regret it.
Well done, my Lord Othello. Well done, and Master Iago. Remarkable performance.
Mr. Ford?
A drink for the stars of Washington City?
No, thank you, sir. We're fine.
Who was that leaving just now?
Robert Lincoln.
Him I know. Who's the girl?
Lucy Hale. The senator's daughter. I'm sure you'll have a chance to meet them both. When this is all over, there won't be a person in this country who doesn't know your name, Mr. Booth.
My dear Miss Hale, you resemble, in a most remarkable degree, a girl I once knew, now dead. Well, that's troublesome. To see you has indeed afforded me a melancholy pleasure. A melancholy pleasure. I've never heard that expression before.
That's because I coined it.
Who is she?
Just a girl from long ago.
Did you love her?
Yes.
What happened to her? How did she die?
She took her own life.
How did you know where to find me?
Washington City's a small town.
How did you know that I lived in the National Hotel?
I live here too, just upstairs.
And you what? You followed me to my room?
Yes.
John Wilkes Booth, the most handsome man in the American theater. That's what they say, anyway.
Do they?
Yes. They also say that you know it.
How old are you?
Excuse me? That's not the sort of question a fellow generally asks when he's courting a lady.
Is that what we're doing here?
How old do I look?
I was wondering why you aren't married.
Why aren't you?
Because I haven't found anyone quite as beautiful as you.
He strikes a blow. You'll have me on my back in my boudoir in no time.
The Belle of Washington. That's what they say about you.
What else do they say?
That you can be cruel to your suitors, of which they say you have many.
In my father's circles, yes. I'm a prize of sorts, a trophy to be won.
And yet, there's no ring on your finger.
Maybe I don't want a ring on my finger.
Or maybe they don't know the game.
Is this your game, Mr. Booth? Sliding letters under girls' doors, flattering them with words of dead lovers and melancholy pleasures.
Have dinner with me tonight.
I have an appointment.
Break it.
A lady does not break appointments with the sons of presidents, Mr. Booth.
Robert Lincoln.
Well, yes, I should hope so. I'm a bit long in my years for young Tad, aren't I?
Break it.
Another time, perhaps. I trust I shall see you again.
If it pleases you.
That remains to be seen.
...1865 is sponsored by Away. Next month, head writer Steve Walters and I will be headed to the Austin Film Festival to talk about podcasts, which after a moment of reflection makes some sense. Podcasts like 1865 are doing the exact same thing as film and TV, telling great stories. We're excited to go and talk to other creators about writing for audio, podcast production, and to further explore the intersection of podcasting and film. But Steve is going to be envious, because as a result of voicing this very ad, I will be traveling to Austin with my Away luggage, the perfect suitcase, thoughtfully designed, lightweight, but durable, with smart features to keep me organized and on the go. With Away, getting in and out of the airport is a breeze, because the four 360-degree wheels glide effortlessly. Mine also has a built-in, but removable, wireless charger battery, so I'm not always hunting for an outlet, and has locks that the TSA won't question. Plus, I know that Away will fix or replace my suitcase ASAP if anything ever breaks. Find out what luggage should be and why Steve is really missing out. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/1865 and use promo code 1865 during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/1865. Promo code 1865 for $20 off your next best suitcase.
John.
Sam O'Loughlin. What brings you back to New York? I thought you were fighting for the rebels down south.
I took some shrapnel in the leg, so they sent me home.
Too bad it didn't hit you a little higher.
Evan, will you give us a moment alone, please?
We have rehearsal.
Only a minute.
Make it a short one.
Here, for the last shipment.
Don't hand it to me.
Well, what do you want me to do with it, then?
Put it in my box on your way out. I have to go.
Wait. Where are you traveling next? There's another shipment ready.
Kansas City, Missouri.
And I can rely on you.
Well, I haven't failed you yet, have I?
They're pleased with the work we've been doing. If we're willing to get our hands dirty, they're willing to go deeper.
Our hands are already dirty.
We're saving lives, Booth. And we could save a lot more. There's a man in Washington City, goes by the name of John Surratt.
I told you, I don't want to know any names. Listen, Sam, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but I'm not interested.
You seem interested enough to fill your coffers week in and week out.
It is not about money.
It is for me. Nobody wants to hire an Irish immigrant with a gimp leg. You may not need the money, but I do.
I made a promise to my mother that I wouldn't fight.
Smuggling medicine to wounded soldiers?
Keep your voice down!
That's not fighting. You see this? This is what fighting is. I don't blame your mother for wanting to keep you away from the cannon fire, and I don't blame you for wanting to respect her wishes. But there's a war on. You can't have one foot in and one foot out anymore.
I won't do it.
It's emancipation what you want, because it's coming. Only a matter of time. You know it as well as I. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
That's a long minute. You could fit Hamlet in the length of that minute.
Tell your people the shipment is coming. I'm not interested in the rest.
This Friday, November 6th, 1863, at the premier new theater in Washington City, Ford's Theater presents the youngest tragedian in the world, John Wilkes Booth, as the stingy Jew, Shylock, in William Shakespeare's frightening tragedy, The Merchant of Venice.
Mr. Booth, you, sir, are a villain.
Excuse me?
Tell me, should I hide my money?
Hide your money?
You stingy, unforgiving merchant.
I think you're confusing me with
someone. Hath not a Jew eyes.
Oh, I see.
If you prick him, does he not bleed?
You saw the show then.
Oh, magnificent. Magnificent. Please, let me buy you a drink.
You know, I don't believe we've officially met.
Oh, forgive my manner. You're so impolite, Robert, as my father always likes to say. I assume that people know who I am sometimes the moment that I walk in a room. Forgive me. Robert Lincoln.
John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, I know all about you, Master Shylock. Tell me, friend, can you do me a small kindness?
I suppose it depends on what it is.
You play such an extraordinary villain that ever since we saw you play Richard III, my lovely date can hardly stop talking about you, and tonight is no different. It seems that you have made theft of the lady's heart.
Please, give her my thanks, sir.
Oh, no. You may give it yourself, Mr. Booth. Forgive the lady. She is too shy to ask, but can she have your autograph? It would make her night, and hopefully mine later.
I'd be honored.
Excellent. Miss Hale. Lucy, come. Mr. Booth, this is Lucy Hale, the senator's daughter. Miss Hale, well, no introduction required.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Lucy, the pen and paper.
Yes, here you are. Thank you for this.
Well, it's my pleasure.
You know, Mr. Booth, you and I have something in common, and it's not our mutual love for the bard.
And what is it, then?
Yeah, we both live in the shadows of great men.
Ah, here's your autograph, Miss Hale.
Thank you.
Alack, what heinous sin is it in me to be ashamed to be my father's child?
Oh, you are quite the Shylock. Should I be worried for my position?
Oh, hardly.
I'd say all three of us have commonality in that respect, Mr. Lincoln.
Well, it's different with fathers and sons, dear.
How so?
This is the modern American woman in the flesh, Mr. Booth. What are we going to do?
A daughter can live in the shadow of her father as well as the son.
Of course. But to fathers, the lives of their sons are their legacy. And to sons, the lives of their fathers are their curse. Mr. Booth knows what I mean, I'm sure.
The sins of the father are to be laid upon the children.
Upon the children, as Shakespeare wrote, sons and daughters.
Yes, well, I suppose you have a point. But there are certainly worse things than being the daughter of a senator.
Oh, you forgot abolitionist senator.
Well, of course I know something about a senator with a cause, don't I?
Or a president with ambition?
Oh, more than you'll ever know, Mr. Booth.
I think I have some notion. You see, my father, though he was just a lowly actor...
Just a lowly actor? Your father was not a lowly actor. Your father was the actor.
He was. That and an abolitionist. Nowhere near the esteem of a senator or a president, but in his own way, he served your cause.
What about you, Mr. Booth? What cause do you serve?
My own.
Meaning?
I have never carried my father's torch for abolition, I'm afraid. In matters of politics, he and I never did see eye to eye. I have my own mind in that regard.
What's in that mind, Master Shylock? Do tell.
I'm no rebel. I want a peaceful resolution, one of unity.
You say you don't burn a torch for abolition. I do hope you don't carry one for the opposition. Is this a Democrat that I see before
me? Well, where I come from, Mr. Lincoln, politics don't make for polite conversation.
Where Miss Hale and I come from, politics is the only conversation. You'll be hard-pressed to offend us, I assure you. Please, go on.
Robert, He doesn't want to talk about
it. It's fine, Miss Hale. I am quite fond of the Constitution, Mr. Lincoln. We'll leave it at that. Boring.
What's boring is your obsession with this conversation. Mr. Booth, politics aside, I think it's admirable for a man to choose his own path, to be his own person in spite of what his parents might dictate.
Thank you, Miss Hale.
Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I need to use the bathroom.
You know, my father won't even let me serve my own country.
Is that right?
Behind a desk, maybe, but in uniform, never. And political office? It's out of the question. My father, he...
Mr. Lincoln, would you excuse me? I'm afraid I need the powder room as well.
Of course. Parting is such sweet, sweet sorrow.
I was hoping you'd follow me.
He loves the sound of his own voice, doesn't he? Just like his father.
Robert is harmless.
Are you?
Am I what?
What exactly are you doing?
Well, at the moment, I am having a secret rendezvous with you in the powder room.
Have a drink with me.
I suppose a man like you is accustomed to getting what he wants when he wants it. You and Mr. Lincoln have that in common as well.
No, it certainly seems like he's the one who's getting it.
Ask him. He might tell you a different story.
What a daughter's duty is to play the courtesan to Washington's elite bachelors?
When it's asked of me, yes.
You want to know what I think? I think you like it.
You better hurry back, Mr. Booth.
Who is he to you?
The duty of a daughter.
And what does that duty entail?
Spanish lessons.
Come on, rehearsal is over.
We have an audience tomorrow night, which means we still have time to get this right.
Did this in Caesar seem ambitious? Could you please not talk over the verse?
Speak it properly, and I won't feel compelled to. Push to the end of the thought. Lift it.
When that the poor hath cried, Caesar hath wept.
God damn it!
What?
Where is it, John? Where is the pause? Show me in the text.
I prefer the pause.
The audience will not, I assure you. And mind the meter. You speak it like an American.
I am an American.
Othello was not an American.
And the man from Stratford was not a Moor from Venice.
Drink promotes the desire, but takes away the performance.
You have such strong opinions on Antony. Why don't you play him? I'm more suited for Brutus anyhow.
John, listen to me. There's word the president might attend the performance.
And what's that to me?
Father had the gift, but drink nearly took it from him. Nearly stole it from me, too.
I can hold my spirits just fine, thank you.
So could father, till he stabbed that poor fellow with a rapier. Is that what you want your legacy to be, the drunkard son of the great tragedian drunkard?
I shook my finger at the audience.
No,
why is that
no,
such a...
No, you shook your finger at Lincoln. Like a bloody madman, and everyone in the audience knew who it was meant for, including the president. You were wallpaper drunk, and you lost control.
I was told Big Beard adored me for it, the first lady, too.
You're not funny.
Am I not?
No.
Or have your politics rendered you humorless?
This is not politics, this is business. And if the president is to attend this benefit tomorrow, then I expect you to conduct yourself accordingly.
Well, he won't be president for much longer, God willing, if McClellan dethrones him.
McClellan is a blowhard like the rest of the Democrats. They stand for nothing.
McClellan would end the war. You call that nothing? Edwin. Lincoln would... He would make himself the king of America. And you would help put the crown on his head.
You've been reading the Virginia Examiner again, haven't you? You know, if you cared for such things as objectivity, you might consider
right,
your sources.
I suppose I would find that in the Times. They'd happily run the headline, Tyrant Crowns Himself, King Abraham the First, Liberty Dies.
Tyrant's a bit extreme.
He suspends habeas corpus and declares martial law. He's imprisoned over 100,000 innocent men, women, and children, and you say the tyrant is a bit
really,
extreme?
Really, brother,
yes,
where you
children.
Arrive at your... Listen to you, reading propaganda and reciting it back like a marionette. Tell me, John, do you find it difficult to opine with Jefferson Davis's right hand jammed so firmly up your rear end?
It's the truth.
According to the Examiner, I'm sure.
According to anyone with eyes and ears and a mind open to see the truth. And all of this in the name of preserving the Union? Individual liberty means nothing. There's only the general welfare. Thomas Jefferson is rolling over in his grave, I assure you.
And Alexander Hamilton's dancing a celebratory jig.
No, I hope Lincoln does come to the performance. I'll do more than shake my finger at him this time round.
Do you hear
He'll be
yourself?
Leaving New York in a wooden box. A very long, thin, misshapen box.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
1865 is sponsored by BetterHelp. In 1865, mental health wasn't a concept. If you weren't locked away on Blackwell's Island, you coped. But coping has a cost. Sometimes even the ordinary acts of getting through the day seem too much, and what should be carefree moments get lost or occluded by your own thoughts or feelings. Instead of coping, maybe try talking. BetterHelp is there for you. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Within 24 hours of sign up, you can be talking with a licensed counselor about your issues. Specialists trained to listen and help you find yourself again. Log into your account anytime from anywhere and message with your counselor or schedule video or phone sessions. No travel, no waiting rooms, maximum privacy. It's more convenient and more affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit BetterHelp.com/1865. That's BetterHelp/1865 and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/1865.
Right or wrong, God judge me, not man. I love peace more than life. I've loved the union beyond expression. For 4 years have I waited, hoped, and prayed for the dark clouds to break and for a restoration of our former sunshine. To wait longer would be a crime. All hope for peace is dead. My prayers have proved as idle as my hopes. God's will be done. I go to see and share the bitter end. Hello, Sam.
Booth? What are you doing here?
I wanted you to know I just sent off the last shipment.
I'll pass it along.
In fact, I've been thinking. I could do more shipments, if that would help. Maybe even 2 a week.
Everything helps.
Sam, is the opportunity from before still on the table?
I believe so.
The man in Washington, the one you mentioned before, who is he?
Johnny Surratt. He's with the Confederate Secret Service.
Then take me to him.
'65 is an Airship production featuring Montgomery Sutton, Allison Pistorius, T.A. Taylor, Alex Organ, Jessica Renee Russell, Eric Archilla, and Stephen Walters. Created by Stephen Walters and Eric Archilla. Directed by Robert McCullough. Written by Stephen Walters. Executive producer, Lindsey Graham. Co-executive producers, Eric Archilla, Robert McCullough, and Stephen Walters. Music and sound design by Lindsey Graham. To find out more about 1865, go to 1865podcast.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at 1865 Podcast. And if you're a fan of the show, please consider supporting us. Become a patron at patreon.com/1865podcast. New episodes air weekly, and look for special inside-the-episode interviews with the writers and producers of the series to find out more about the real history behind 1865.